rather like a set of well-curved mustachios and cruelly fanged with sharp mountains. The island is 10 miles long and, despite its name, almost waterless. They were only the second foreigners to buy a house there. Very little English was spoken, and Johnston and Cliff possessed only rudimentary Greek. It was audacious as well as romantic, especially with a young family, to attempt a free and creative life in the sun. This book, her second, if we discount the three earlier novels written in collaboration with George Johnston, brings us to an island on the brink of change in 1956. Clift and Johnston were at the vanguard of what was soon to become a fabled bohemian community of artists and writers, of exiles and dreamers. She was 32 years old. Her first book, Mermaid Singing, a memoir of the family's first year in Greece on the island of Kalymnos, had been published to some excellent reviews. She was unexpectedly pregnant again. Her husband, in her opinion at least, was giving Hemingway a run for his money. But still, the sales of his books, and hers, were poor. The children, though beautiful and free, weighed on her heart, like lead, like chains, like three strong anchors bedded deep in the reality from which I can never escape. Cliff thought of herself as an Icarus, a yay-sayer, who flew close to the sun, but she later referred to this period when she should have taken wings and started to fly, as a year when she found herself, once again, bound and constrained by her domestic rights. The original dream, that the island be a base from which they'd set sail and explore, was starting to fade. She didn't expect to find herself marooned on a rock without so much as the ferry fare to Athens. Thank God the delights of anticipation never pall on us. Some of the very pleasantest hours I can remember have been spent crouching over the charcoal tin, planning courtyards, sailing boats, making summer trips to islands yet unseen. Sometimes it seems that she's writing herself back into a place where hope and good humour flourish, but often, especially while waiting for her baby to be born, the lack of a safety net is palpably vertiginous. As with Mermaid Singing, she is writing events almost as they are happening to her. It's a warm and intimate voice that invites us to huddle beside her over the glowing charcoals, while Athena's little owl drops liquid notes from the mountains and the huge shapes of cats slinking in the alley are like an emanation of the secret soul of the place. In describing her wintering companions, she treads an enjoyably spiky line between mockery and affection. Henry Trevenna is the Australian painter Sidney Nolan. Her portrayal of Ursula, based on his wife Cynthia, was friendship ending. Grown somewhat gothic and malevolent lately, and no damn wonder. Because he would pour pitch over her and set her alight if he needed a torch to paint by. Sean Donovan is the writer Patrick Greer, and Lola is Nancy Dignan, whose drawings head the chapters in the printed copy of this book. Jacques is the painter Jean-Claude Maurice, a little curly dog on heat, who would later be exposed by George Johnston as Clift's lover, and the source of his own debilitating sexual jealousy in two of his novels. Filmmakers have started to zero in on Aedra. The quality of the light, its unspoilt beauty and cubist white houses that are arranged in tiers from the port, giving the appearance of a perfect amphitheatre. Clift can sense what is happening to the island as more and more people arrive. She saves her most biting scorn for the film crew. The film that's being made in the later chapters of this book is Boy on a Dolphin, and the star is an 18-year-old Sophia Loren. And for the drifting existentialists who have all met Rilke's wife, or Dali, have questioning amoral eyes, and a steady fund of scandalously funny stories, the war generation, who grew up to horror and inherited despair and disillusion. By contrast, many of those young newcomers to the island remembered Clift and Johnston as the most helpful of welcoming committees. When a 25-year-old Leonard Cohen arrived on Aedra in April 1960, he initially stayed in their spare room and later described how the local people had a great respect for the couple. Because they lived as the